Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah. You wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue. Purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the king. This is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire to be used by you. Wanna be real, you wanna be emptied inside, and I know my heart is to feel you near, and I know my life is to do your will, is to do your will. This is my desire.
Show. This is host Reverend Stan. Robert and Chris, we're having a little issues with Blog Talk. I'm not able to get into the show tonight to open their mics. Mine's automatically open, but theirs ain't. I can't get theirs open at this time. But we're still going to go on with the show. It's going to be a great show. And the Lord's going to touch everybody tonight. And we're talking about, can you get into heaven by just being a great person and a lovable guy, and you just go to church and sit in the seat and everything just so perfect, and you'll really put your trust in the Lord, but you're a good guy, you know, you treat people good and think, you know, you should be able to get to heaven is what people like that think. They think you should get into heaven. But as we know it, you know, as we know, that Jesus is the only door. He is the only door to get into heaven. There are so many people in churches nowadays that sit in the front row of the church. They listen to their sermon. They get up and leave. and they live like hell for the rest of the week, and they come back to church. But their trust is not really in Jesus. It's in their government. It's in their boss man. It's in everything. And I'm not saying that ain't bad. I mean, you should trust people, but God, Lord Jesus, is the main one to get you to heaven. And as a lot of people, you know, as the Pharisees, you know, were back in Jesus' times, they believed they lived a holy life. You know, they went by all the Ten Commandments. They believed they went by all the Ten Commandments. And, you know, they specified as themselves as being holy. And that they, since they went by all the Ten Commandments, so they believed they went by all the Ten Commandments, that, you know, them and God was good, and they'd get into heaven, and everything was fine. But unfortunately, things wasn't fine. When Jesus came into the temple and, you know, everybody proclaimed he was the Son of God, and that he was the Messiah, and people should listen to him. And it kind of made him very mad, because one thing, he was showing miracles nobody ever seen before. Only the Messiah could do these miracles that he was doing. And a lot of things he was preaching was just way off the wall for them, because they was more taught, their teaching was all about the law and not about the love of God. It's basically about the law. So the law and love supposed to go hand in hand, because if you're in love, you're automatically going by the law. But if you're not in love with the world, with people, with God, in love with God, you're not going to go by the law. You're going to fall. So automatically they was falling. And you know, there was a rich guy one day that was around where Jesus was teaching, and he was like, "Hey, you know, I pay my tithes, you know, I go by the law, this and that." And he had a lot of things that he owned. And Jesus said, "Okay, so you went through all that close with me and go to heaven." He said, "I ask you one thing." He said, "Drop and sell everything that you have and follow me." And then when he said that, the rich Pharisee had to walk off, because he had so much that he couldn't give it up. So, and another thing that I like to kick into is that God knows each of us separately. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strengths. One guy's strengths might be another guy's weaknesses, and another guy's weaknesses may be another guy's strengths. So he treats us all differently. We all got to believe in Christ, but we all are treated a little differently, because we're all different people. We're all not the same. So he does, you know, he treats us all a little differently. He loves us all the same, but he goes about teaching us a little differently. And one thing I want to get at is that, you know, the only way you can get into heaven is by the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Cut the living to your heart. There is no other way to the Father but through him. He is the only way you can get to the Father. Not through your Pope, not through Allah, not through Buddha, not through any. There is no other specific doors. It ain't many doors. It ain't a rotating door like on The Price is Right, that you can pick the right door and go through. It's not like it. He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." He didn't say, "I am one way, and there's maybe 20 more down the road." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is the only way to the Father. And then when me and my wife were reading about this in the Word of God earlier, the Holy Spirit showed me Jesus standing there, and it showed him turning into a door of light, where he is the door to get into heaven. He is the door to get into God. He is the way into God. He is the only way into God. There is no other way that you can get to God but through Jesus Christ and his blood. If you don't have his blood on you, you cannot go. You're going to rear off downwards, no matter what you think, what you believe, how many sessions at church you went through, how many times you said 20 Hail Marys a night, how many devotions you had at night. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and he's not in your heart, you will not go to heaven. Plain and simple, you will not go to heaven. It's biblical, and it's the truth. you will not go to heaven. He is the only way. There is no other way. And I want to read a little bit here in John chapter 3:5. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter into the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are an Israeli teacher, Jesus said. And do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know. We testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept my testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believeth in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has came into the world, but man loved darkness instead of the light, because their deeds were evil. See, all your deeds, no matter what type of deeds that you do, if you go and feed the hungry all day, and then you go out and give presents to people on the street and help 100 old ladies cross the road, your deeds are still evil, no matter what. You might have a thought in your mind, oh, I wish this lady would hurry up because she's getting on my nerves. Yeah, going through your head, your deeds are still evil. There is no deed that you can do, ever do, comparison to what Jesus did. There is nothing. No presents, no 20,000 turkeys out of the back of the truck at Thanksgiving for the homeless. There is no hundreds and thousands of old ladies you can cross the road, or 20 people you let in the door. This is all good, but it's still not going to get you into heaven. Or how many coffees you bought for your boss men during the day, or how many biscuits you bought people. I mean, it does not matter what you've done. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you don't get in. He is the one and only door. You cannot get in without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, living in your heart, Holy Spirit flowing within inside you. There is no way, no way, no way you can get in but through him. It says, because their deeds were evil. Anyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. So it's saying, you got a lot of evil in you, you don't want to go into the light. Because one thing, that your deeds will be shown. Jesus already knows your good and bad deeds. He knows everything that you've done. He died for all those bad deeds. He's covered all those deeds. He sanctified those deeds. I'm going to tell you one thing, you do need to repent. That helps cover you. When you repent and give to Jesus, he says, done deal. You repent, done deal. You repent, done deal. But one of the biggest problems that us humans have is that we're too proud. We are too proud to ask Jesus to take things from us, to take our sins from us. A lot of people is so proud that, hey, who do I need somebody to save me? Who do I need somebody to help me? Who do I need for God to help me through this problem? I've got sins, but I'm good. You know, that's what a lot of people think. But when that day comes, and you've got to be sinless, and you can't match up to Jesus Christ, he's not covered your sins, then you're judged with the rest. You're judged with the rest. You're judged with Satan. And Satan did the worstest thing. He went against the kingdom of God to try to take it over. You're going to be judged right beside of him. Be there when that happens. I definitely don't want to be there when that happens. I want to believe in the Jesus Christ. And the thing of it is, I don't really go to Jesus Christ because I'm scared. I go to Jesus Christ because I love him, because of what he's done for me. He loved you so much. He gave his life for you. How many people out here would give their life to you or for you? Not many out there. I mean, he gave his life for the whole world, for all his people in the whole world. And there's not many people out there would do that, but he gave his for the whole world, for people that's going to insult him and talk about him and make fun of him and on the day of his death spit in his face and gambled for his clothes while he was dying and being tormented on the cross by stabbing and mocking and the beatings he took before even before he got to that cross, the beatings he took way before he got to that cross. Skin hanging off his bones, intestines almost coming out of him, hanging on the cross, should already been dead before he got to the cross. He shouldn't even been able to carry that cross to that hill. A normal man wouldn't have been able to carry that wood for that cross to that hill. They should have already been dead a long time ago. If you watch The Passion of Christ, people say, you know, and the Word talks about that the Passion, you know, really the Passion of Christ only touched the pain that your Savior went for you. What he took for you, the Passion of Christ don't really touch it. It just barely shows you what he went through. I mean, our Lord was unrecognizable done with him, and plus made him drag a cross through the street. Luckily, there was a fellow Jew that helped him carry that cross. But he shouldn't even been able to live through that, but he did, and he still went on that cross and died for you. Just think of an unrecognizable man. He's been beat so much that his face is smeared across his skull. His hands is about beat to death. His arms is beat to death. Bones holding skin on for you. Drag that cross up that hill for you right after he was about dead anyway and barely hanging on and crucified and took all that for you. He was so bad off. Normally when a crucifixion went on, people, you know, these guys would be crucified and sit up there for days. He was so bad off that he was only up there just for a little bit and then he passed. Because he was so beaten. He took all those beatings and all those marks on his back, on his chest for your healing, for everything that you've done, every smart remark, every curse you put on people, every cursing that you've done, profanity that came out of your mouth, person you've insulted, you kicked, he took all of those sins for you. He took cancer for you. He took arthritis for you. He took all these sins for you. He took everything. Once you give your life to him, he takes everything that you ever did and puts it on himself. On that one day, 2,000 years ago, he took all that on himself and took it across to the cross and let all that die for you on him. He died once and for all. And when he died on that cross, he was resurrected again for the Father, which when he was resurrected with, if you believe in him, you was raised from your old self to the new man through him. He did that for you. Without him, there is no other door. I don't care what the Buddha man tells you or your New Age guru tells you, there is no other way. I've been through some of those other religions. I've been there, done that. They're all backwards, trust me. And there's a lot of fishy stuff going on there because the enemy is running it just to fool you. And they will pull you down with it, so trust me. You don't want to go down that route. He is the only way. No matter what you want to believe, he is the only way. If you want to see heaven, if you want to experience heaven, he didn't only die for you to go see heaven one day when you die. He actually died to bring heaven in you. He wants to bring the kingdom inside of you. They asked him, so where is your kingdom that you're talking about? You're the king of this kingdom. Where is this kingdom you're talking about? He said, it's not here on this earth. It ain't. You can't say it's here or it's there. Because this kingdom is within inside you. This kingdom he talked about is within inside of you. When you accept him and the Holy Spirit comes in you, he starts building his kingdom inside of you. And also when he would say, you know, when you go out and pray for people, say the kingdom is amongst you. He didn't say, well, the kingdom of God is automatically this big old heaven thing going to pop out of the sky and it's going to fall down. He didn't say that. He said the kingdom is amongst you. The kingdom within the disciple was amongst them. He started that kingdom, building that kingdom up with inside of him. So the kingdom of heaven, if you're a Bible-believing Christian and you've been saved and born again, the kingdom of God is living within inside of you. It's growing every moment. Every time you pick up that word of God and you're dropping them words in your mind and in your soul, it's building, it's building, it's building. So you have a tremendous kingdom that it starts growing and showing through you. You want the kingdom of God showing through you. When the kingdom of God is showing through you, that's what reflects the light. Just like Jesus says in the Word, he says, if you have a lampstand, do you take that and stick it underneath your bed? Or do you put it up on the stand? I mean, if you got a light, you stick it underneath your bed, or do you put it up on the stand where the whole world can see? Because that light is going to shine so brightly that everybody's going to see that. And that's because the kingdom of God has grown within you so much, that it expands through you. And that's what's so awesome, is the kingdom of God is expanding through you. You want the kingdom of God to expand through you. And I know we all have bad days at times. We all do. We all have good days and bad days. And that's part of living in this world. That happens. And I'm not saying, you know, that bad day is automatically deleted and everything. That has nothing to do with that. Once you're born and saved, you're always born and saved. Not whether somebody ran in front of you and they in the interstate and you're mad and that just don't delete everything. You still have all that. You can have a couple of bad days. I mean, God's still there. Jesus still loves you no matter what. You're always going to go to heaven once you accepted the Lord and he's your Lord and Savior. No matter what, he's there. A lot of people said, oh, man. So one little bad word, it's all gone now. It's not. He still loves you. See, that love that he has for you is what's going to transform you. The judgment's not going to transform you. The Word of God talks about, even in Romans and, you know, in the back part of the New Testament, it talks about how the law actually condemns you. It's created as a curse. It's a curse on the Jewish people. It was like a curse that God landed on Jewish people for them being disobedient to him. They misused everything that he did to them. He misused them. I mean, they misused them. And really pulled themselves away from it. So the law was handed to them through Moses. So it's really a curse. I'm telling you. Jesus took that and cut it up and said, I'll put that law inside of your heart. So when you do bad, you will know whether you're doing bad or not. Because you'll get jerked. You'll get that, you know, the Holy Spirit will let you know. You'll get convicted. I had somebody ask me, I think it was today, they asked me, they were like, how do you know of your salvation? And they've already been saved and this and that, but they said, how do you really know of your salvation? I asked them one question. I said, when you do something bad, do you feel bad when you do it? You have that nudge in you ain't doing right. They're like, yeah. I said, there you go. You have it. Because the law has been instilled inside of your heart. You'll be convicted when you've done something wrong. If your conscience is seared and it's been broke and you have no conviction, then I doubt you'll be in you'll be able to go to heaven, because the Holy Spirit most likely has left you. But that's very hard to do. That's very hard to do. And I'm not going to tell everybody that, you know, hey, you know, he's left you. He's not. But there is people that they have received years ago, but they refuse to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because they think they know better, or they're smarter than that, or I'll say they're more advanced now than they was back when they was children. And that's not true. Because when you get older, you should get wiser and be more mature and know that the Word of God is true and that the Lord Jesus Christ is your only way. Because He is. Spirit is living in you. He convicts you of things that you've done. He shows you right from wrong. See, the scribes, back in the Jewish day, they had scribes. And the scribes always talked about Christ and all that when He was here on earth. And they had this sheet of paper that they carried around, or they copied the Word of God constantly. That was their job. They copied the Word of God constantly. That was their everyday job. They knew the Word of God. They had it memorized because they copied it weekly, daily. That was their job. It was to copy the Word of God. They didn't have printers like we have today. They couldn't go to their computer and push in copy and it would come out. They had to actually handwrite it. So they had the Word of God. They had the law in their mind. No matter what they did, they still broke it because of sin in their heart. The separation that happened during Adam and Eve was still with them. The covenant wasn't done yet. It wasn't broken yet through Jesus Christ. The covenant was not broken yet. The covenant of the law was still in force. And they could not stop from sinning, no matter what they did. No matter what they did, they still sinned. They could have went through all the 10, but still thought about somebody's wife or something, and they still broke it. If sin wasn't working on the outside, it was working on the inside. This is like Jesus said. He said, "I see you Pharisees, the priests," and he said, "I see dark." He said, you look like white and polished, you know, tombs on the outside, but inside you're dark. You're like dark and rotten on the inside. Because, see, Jesus, he had his special, since being a son of God, he had a special gift. He could look through people. He could see what's going on inside them. He could see your heart for what it is, and he still does this to this day. He can look at your heart. He don't care if you're breakdancing every day and you're saying, "Hey, Jesus," holding a ladder up in the air during church. It don't matter. It don't matter to him because he looks in your heart. No matter what show you show on the outside, he looks at your heart, what you really are. He's a heart guy. He's always been a heart guy. He always looks at your heart first. He knows what that is. He sees it, and that's what he knows, what your heart is. And I can't tell you how many ministers I know that we all have a communication with the Lord, but they all say, "Well, you look at the guy's heart and say that he is, you know, he's good, or he's not doing this, and, you know, that's why I always hear." And see, the Lord knows your heart. But one of the biggest things we got to do is, and I heard one of my other minister friends said, you know, the one thing that activates the power and anything of God is love. When you're walking in love, that's what activates the ability to heal and all that. Once you're staying in that, you'll see more miracles happen. Because God's all about love. He really is all about love. And when you build that one-on-one relationship up, we talk about on this show all the time, when you build that one-on-one relationship with God, you know, you start knowing Him. You start knowing His love. And that's one of the biggest problems I had, being reawakened to the Christian faith, to the full Christian faith, being reawakened to that, and learning that no matter if I messed up, Jesus still loves me. His blood still covered me. No matter, I thought I was a falling crazy man, that I just couldn't keep all these laws, because I was raised up in a religion back when I was a kid, and I had to tiptoe over the tulips just to make sure that I passed the commandments, or something in me just like, you know, I had this religious spirit in me that I had problems with, and I just couldn't see myself doing right. And the more you can't see yourself doing right, is the less you're going to do, because you're constantly judging yourself. The law constantly judges you. If you're constantly judging yourself and you're paranoid daily, you're going to be in more situations, because that's why Jesus had to break. He had to break that covenant, to break that off of you, to free you from that. And when he broke that covenant and freed you from that, he put love in you and put the Holy Spirit in you to guide you, to be your partner. See, the earlier believers didn't have that. See, John and all them, they had that when they got baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Before the day of Pentecost, they didn't have it. The only thing they had was Jesus Christ. He was the only one that could really tell them what to do. He wasn't living in them yet. He was still walking amongst them. As long as he was still there, they could not get the Holy Spirit yet. They could not get the Holy Spirit yet until he poured it out, into heaven poured it out. But as long as he was still walking with them, tell them things that they needed to know. He could teach them. He could do all the things the Holy Spirit does inside of us every day if we just allow him. Every day if we just allow him. And that's one thing that we have problems with. We don't allow him. We got churches talking against him. We got churches talking about, well, you know, that was good back in that day, but, you know, they'll talk about it during a prayer or something, and, you know. But we need the Holy Spirit working in our lives every day. Every day. And he's there. He's there. When you least expect it, he's still there. He's with you. And I'm going to tell you, folks, if there's anybody listening that's not really been born again, and really accepted. They might have accepted, you know, the Lord when they was a kid, and your mom and daddy told them to go up front, go through confirmation, whatever it is, and all the other kids did it, so, you know, we did it too. That's not really accepting. That's not really accepting. I did the same thing when I was a child. I went through the confirmation. I did all that, and it took me, when I got older, to redo it. I had to, just going through confirmation, I had to sit in my car and myself and accept the Lord in my heart. And he still works on me from day to day. He will everybody. Everybody that accepted him, he will still work on you. He's turned you into that new man. An automatic thing, because, yeah, I mean, you could see Paul. Paul, it was Saul, the dude that killed Christians and became a disciple. He wrote many times in the Word of God where he talks about, you know, he suffered daily with this. You know, he had problems with this. He knew he was doing wrong, and right there indicated that the Holy Spirit was helping him, was teaching him. If he'd say, I had problems, but I'm good with it, let's go, you know. But no, he knew what he was doing wasn't right, and he's working on it, see. And it's not that the Holy Spirit keeps on putting doubt in your mind or anything. It's spirit of doubt, it's not of God. But he lets you know when you're not making the mark. He lets you know when you're not making the mark. He lets you know when you are making the mark, and he's very excited with you. And trust me, when God is really with you and he's excited about you, you will know it. You will know it. And I'm going to tell you another thing, no matter if other people prosecute you, I mean, there's Christians, there's people who came into faith that has been prosecuted by other Christians, right? Don't worry about it. Just worry about what God wants. But I guarantee you that your Lord, Jesus Christ, the one and only Son of God, went through the same thing you did through Christian folks, or I'll say religious folks. Back in them days, it was all Pharisees from Judaism. So he went through the same thing through his own people. So no matter what, he's still with you. And the Holy Spirit will convict you if you're wrong. No matter whether they convict you or not, he will convict you if you're wrong. If you're not, he won't. So just let the Lord guide you. Let the Word of God guide you too. The things you say and do don't line up. You know, you might need to check yourself. I'm pretty sure the Holy Spirit, if you're Holy Spirit filled, he will check you. He will make sure you're walking a straight path. A lot of people, I really believe that a lot of Christians go on by what people in the church tells them. Oh, you're not doing this because you didn't do that. Or you didn't do this because you didn't say five Hail Marys. Or you didn't do this because you didn't go to the front in the church service every Sunday and said you sorry 20 times. Or you didn't do this because you didn't show up to dinner. I mean, it don't matter. As long as you got your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit is guiding you, teaching you. That's what matters, is what the Lord thinks, not by what they think. It's common fact, the way it's supposed to be. See, we're living for Christ. We ain't living for preachers. We're living for Christ. We ain't living for the church congregation. We're living for Christ. We ain't living for our neighbors. But we're supposed to love those people. We're supposed to love those people and bless those people. No matter what they think of you, love them, bless them, pray for them. Pray for your enemies. And one awesome thing that I can tell you that God really, really does, he sees people as you can't. And once he starts teaching you that, and starts to open your eyes to that, then a whole another new world opens up. No matter what they say about you, you love them just like Jesus did. Jesus got cursed, spit on, beat to a bone, still loved them. He did that even on the very day that he died on the cross. He said, "Father, forgive those for they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing saying this to me." They fully didn't realize that he was really the Son of God. They didn't really realize that for real. He said that, but they still weren't sure. But I guarantee you on that day of resurrection, they were sure. There was no doubts. And it scared the Pharisees. They had to hide it. They had to disguise it. But the disciples knew for real because he came and walked amongst them and revealed himself to them. They knew he was a real deal. Wasn't no hiding from that. There was no hiding from that. That's what set them on fire. They saw the Lord for the first time in front of their eyes after the resurrection. That's what set them on fire. They was like, "We're on now. Our Lord is real. He is a real Son of God. We're going to put our lives on stake for this man. He is going to, we're going to spread his word, Yeshua, the Messiah, is the real Son of God. He is the only way. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, he's still that. You can't get to heaven but through him. He is the door. You can't sell enough turkeys. You cannot give away enough turkeys to get to heaven. He is the door. You can't help enough old ladies across the road to get to heaven. He is the only way. You've got to put your faith in him. You've got to love him. It's actually pretty easy to love him when somebody did all that. And plus, when he comes in, when you come in his presence, that kind of teaches you everything about him. When the presence of the Lord, if you don't have the presence of the Lord coming in your church, you need to go shopping for another church, because you might be in a dead church. But the biggest thing is, you know, once you go in the presence of the Lord, he answers a lot of questions in his presence. It's like, you know, I went to a church service at this new church we started going to, and his presence came into the church. And it was so awesome, and the preachers, was their eyes were like rolling up. What are we going to do? His presence is here. You know, we don't really, you know, but I knew what to do. I mean, they like, "Come on up front." I kind of knew that his presence, if the Lord will speak to me, he will come to me. And I'm not saying that you sit back and wait for him coming. You should go to him. But I just knew the way the Lord reacts with me. And I felt his presence come up beside the seats, and it came right across the road right to me. He started telling me things about my kin folks and started revealing things to me, and it was so awesome because it was just like he identified in my mind's eye, he identified exactly who he was talking about, exactly what he was wanting me to say to this person, and he was actually underlining what he wanted me to say. He's very specific. There wasn't no, well, was this the Lord or was this my mind? It was no if or ands, buts about it. It was the Lord. He kindly he kindly got the Sharpie and kindly colored it in like, hey, I'm here, you know. So, and the love, the identification of the love that was on in that room that came up to me, kindly identified that the Lord was there. And also awesome, later that day in that church, I really noticed that, you know, there's always that one out, you know, one person that always, you know, when the spirit hits, they kind of like blow up and start, you know, really revealing that the Lord is around them. And the person started showing that he was around. I already felt it beforehand, but it was pretty awesome. And then all of a sudden, that presence just exploded across the front of the church, and you can just feel it, and people was hit the floor. It was awesome, very awesome. And I was sitting there just praising the Lord, because when the Lord's presence of the Lord comes in, it's like tremendous love. And Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to bring your presence amongst these people now. We're talking about the presence of God. Presence amongst these people now that's listening to this show. Ask for your love to be shown to these people now. Let your love be shown to these people now. Just fill their room with your love. Lord Jesus, just come down with a bang, with a great big bang into their house. And fill their room with your love. Reveal yourself to them now, Lord Jesus. Reveal yourself to them now. Just fill them with that love. That experience I experienced in that church that day, I want you to bring that experience to them now. Bring it to them in the morning, whenever you want them to experience. I really like you to do it now. Just bring that experience to them now. Let your presence come amongst them now in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, just come amongst them now. Bring your presence amongst them now upon them, and let them experience your love. I can feel it in my room where I'm talking right now. It's awesome. But Holy Spirit, just come amongst them. Just reveal the love of Christ. Just reveal the love of Christ to them. And Lord Jesus, just talk to their heart. Speak to their heart what they need to know. Speak to their heart of any situation that's going on in their life. Just speak to them now. Speak to them now. I feel somebody's walking the walk, but they're having problems. They're walking the walk of their faith, but they're having problems. And Lord, I ask you to speak into their life now. Speak into their life now and reveal to them what their problems is. Their cleaning out is still needs to be done in their heart. There's some cleaning out that still needs to be done in their heart, and that's what's causing them to fall. It's like, boom, they get up, they walk, and then they fall. They get up, and they walk, and they're good, and they fall. And there's some cleaning out that they need to do. They need to realize some stuff. There's some stuff right there. Father, I ask you to go inside their heart and remove that now. I command the blood of Jesus Christ to hit that spot in their heart that is pulling them down each time. The enemy's using that kind of like a tug rope. Every time they start going, he pulls that rope and they fall. And every time they're about there and they pull that rope again, they fall. I command that rope now to be cut in Jesus' name. I command the blood of Jesus to go upon amongst that spot on their heart, and I command it to be sanctified and cleansed now in Jesus' name. Set them free. I'm really feeling now at this time, there's people that's having noise in their minds. They can't think straight. They've got noise going on in their mind. The enemy is really being in their mind at this time, and I rebuke the enemy in their mind. I command the enemy to leave their mind now. I rebuke you, and I command quiet. I command peace in Jesus' name amongst their mind. I command peace in Jesus' name come amongst their mind. I rebuke the enemy and bind it and command him to leave them and never come back in Jesus' mighty name. Command him to go to the pit now. I command peace amongst their mind now in Jesus' name. There's somebody out there, I want to let them know that their mother does love them. The Lord wants me to reveal that to them. Their mother does love them. Your mother does love you. You might not feel that, but she does love you no matter what. Your mom does love you, and the Lord wants you to know that. There's somebody's been worried about their mom. I don't know, but that they're having this thing that they just don't think their mom loves them, but she does. She really does love them. To just put that in your heart and trust in that she does love you. And I really want anybody that has any illnesses, has any problem, whether it's neck pain, headache, chest aches, whatever it is, I ask you to put your hand on your heart, on the pain, wherever it is. I ask you to put your hand right there now, and I'm going to pray for you, and I want you to test it when I get done, because that rectifies your faith and activates the healing. The testing is the activation to your healing. Because if you don't test it, you really didn't believe it, and God don't give it to you. So you got to test it. It helps activate it. So right now, just put your hand right where your hurt is, where you have that sore leg or a sore chest, or you just had surgery, or you had a heart condition. Put your hand there. In Jesus' name, I command the spirit of infirmity to leave these people. I command all bones to be healed and repaired. I command all pains to leave in Jesus' name. I bind you, spirit of pain. I bind you, spirit of infirmity, and I command y'all to leave and go to the pit now in Jesus' name. I command muscles to grow back together. I command tendons to grow back together. I command bones to grow back together in Jesus' holy name. Holy Spirit, I command all this to be fully repaired and restored. I command heart conditions to leave. Spirit of heart disease, I bind you and curse you and command you to leave these people now. Leave their blood veins, leave their heart, leave their arteries. I command you to leave now, go to the pit and never return in Jesus' name. I command you to leave and never return in Jesus' name. I command toothaches to go away. And I really feel somebody wants a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I ask you to send the baptism of the Holy Spirit to them. I normally don't do this. I normally have a prayer I go through, but I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I really ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit to come amongst these people. And I say, now, Holy Spirit, just come upon them. Fill their bellies up with rivers of living water. Baptize them from their head to their feet, full of the Holy Spirit. Activate them in healing and give them all the gifts that you want in the Holy Spirit. Just give it all to them now. Whoever's wanting this baptism of the Holy Spirit, I ask you just to hold your hands out. Hold your hands out. Show the Lord that you really want this. You really want this. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of everything I've done. I'm ready to receive this baptism now. Just say that. Lord Jesus, I repent of anything I've ever done. I receive it now. Lord Jesus, I ask you to send this Holy Spirit to them now. Baptize them from their head to their feet. I command fire amongst these people. Fire, fire in Jesus' name. I command the fire of the Holy Spirit and power to come amongst these people and fill them up. Fill their bellies up with rivers of living water. Fill their hearts up with rivers of living water. Just overflow them. Overflow them. Overflow them with the wine of the new covenant. Just overflow them. I ask it now in Jesus' holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And I do want to tell everybody about the Healing Light Conference. It's going to be in July. It's going to be July the 11th. It's going to be at Marketplace Church in Hickory, North Carolina, right off of 127. I'm telling everybody to get on 321. If you're getting on 321 and you're coming from Hickory, like going towards Lincoln, get off on exit 42. And off the exit, when you get off the ramp, take a right and go straight down the road. If you see a little called Mighty Dollar, It's like a dollar store. Right beside it should be Marketplace Church, because it's in the same Marketplace Center there. Same Marketplace Center. Marketplace Church, right beside the Marketplace Church, will be the event hall where we can have the event. It's free, no charge. We're going to have Robert Hager, which is on here with us, should be tonight, but having problems with the computer, but he is going to be speaking there. We're going to have Chuck McDonald. We're going to have guest Heath Adams. We're going to have Reverend Jacob Phillips and yours truly. I'm going to be hosting the event. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have live worship by Robert and Erica Jordan. They're a great worship team, so come and enjoy that. And this is going to be July 11th at 5 p.m. till 10. We're going to have all these guest speakers, and we're also going to have healing lines. So if you want to get a healing or just want a touch from the Lord, come to this event. We're going to have a lot of people to be praying for you. And plus, we're expecting this event to really blow up, because we're expecting the Lord to just bring his presence there and touch people while they're at the event, not only in the prayer lines, but we want people to get healed while they're listening to the Word of God. We're expecting the Lord to touch them while they're sitting in the audience, that the Lord just come across there and just, you know, renew them. Some people just want a touch from God. Some people want a healing from God. Some people want a revelation from God. You know, everybody has their own thing, but the Lord is going to come and deliver everything that they need. We really have faith on this, and we really know he's going to touch people. So this is going to be July the 11th. It's going to be on a Saturday. It's going to be at Marketplace Church in Hickory. Marketplace Church. Suit 2940. We do have another event coming in Florence, South Carolina, which is going to be a training in the power of God. We're going to help show you how to activate the power of God, which is already living within inside you. Show you how to use it, how to go out and heal the sick, and let God use you fully as you was meant to be. And this is really a blessing for a lot of people. So, you know, just think about that. That's going to be July the 31st, and it's going to be a Friday and a Saturday. So that's going to be a cool event there. But we're going to advertise that closer on. But right now, we're really trying to open up this healing light conversation in Hickory, and we're really expecting some great stuff to happen. And this here is actually our very first event, and you know, it's going to be very exciting to hear a lot of voices you hear on the radio. You get to see them in person and get to hear what they've got to say and their style of preaching and all that type of unique stuff. So it's going to be very exciting to listen to that. Keep your eyes open and just when it comes that time, you know, just come enjoy the event, and you know, the Lord's going to touch you. And I want to thank everybody tonight that came and listened to this show. You know, just always remember, as long as your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't go wrong. And by the way, at this time, before we get off here, I just want to go ahead and invite anybody who has not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart, I ask you to say this prayer along with me, and he will come within your heart. It's a guaranteed done deal. You say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I repent of all sins I have done. I give it to you and the cross. Lord Jesus, I accept that you died on the cross for me and for my sins. Lord Jesus, I accept that you rose again on the third day for me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come and live inside my heart for eternity. In Jesus' holy name, amen. If you just said this prayer, he has came to live within inside of you. He is going to be your Lord and Savior for the rest of eternity. So that's awesome. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, I'm going to get ready to get off here. I want to thank everybody for listening to me tonight. We're going to have Tammy Sutherland coming on Saturday morning. She's going to be talking about event she had in Charleston, South Carolina. They had a outreach in Charleston, South Carolina, which got to touch a lot of people after the shooting. The shooting that happened in South Carolina, the Lord really brought her to do a tent event, and she got a tent up and going before you could blink. The Lord had his hands involved in that and got her up and going, and they got her ready to do her outreach. She was talking about a lot of unity of people coming together during this outreach, some amazing unity. And it's going to be an awesome show to hear about and see what really happened during that time. Now, I'd like to say God bless every one of y'all. And Robert and Chris, sorry, guys, but Blog Talk wouldn't let me open up the room. The computer in here is having a little issues right now. So we're all going to be back on Saturday morning, and we could all speak then. But, they had a lot of things they want to speak to, and you're going to hear them real soon. They're going to be back on Saturday. Chris will be back on Saturday, and you'll hear Robert next Wednesday. I'll say God bless every one of y'all. Y'all have a great and wonderful week, and we'll see you Saturday morning at 9:30. We're going to have, like I said, we're going to have Tammy Sutherland on, and she's going to be talking about her outreach in Charleston, South Carolina. Do not miss this show. It's going to open your eyes to the unity that the Lord is bringing during a bad situation like what's going on here these few days or these few weeks, and I'll show you what he's doing. He's not letting the enemy do what he's wanting. He's canceling out what the enemy did. He's bringing in his love and showing people the unity and reversing all the things that the enemy's trying to do. So God bless y'all, and we'll see you Saturday.